Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
My first guest today is a much-loved Hollywood actress. I think she'll always have a special place in our hearts as the star of Clueless. And she has an even more special place in our hearts now because she has made her new TV show in Ireland. Alicia Silverstone, you're very welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, Alicia, tell me about your new show, Irish Blood, first.
It's a story about a woman. Basically, when she's 10 years old, her father that she idolizes just suddenly abandons her and also, you know, potentially harmed her mother. And this is all such a shock. And so 30 years later, she gets a mysterious communication from him. And so she jumps on a plane and heads to Ireland to sort of follow this communication and find him. And obviously she's a sort of broken person. She's very, you know, she's got some issues because her dad left and she's sort of a tough cookie, but Ireland softens her a bit. Toughens her and softens her at the same time.
The character Fiona is interesting. Like, the show is a very light show in ways and it's pacey and fun and all that. But it is interesting that this person had told herself a story all these years. We all do it to some extent, don't we? And it turned out that wasn't true at all.
Yeah. She witnessed something. Well, she thought she witnessed something, but she was 10 years old. And when someone leaves you and they're the love of your life and they leave you, it's just like she's brokenhearted. And so I think that she can't make any sense of it. And her mom doesn't help her make any sense of it. And probably she had some relationships in high school or college where she got heartbroken again. And so she's just like, I'm done with that. It, like, love is not in her vocabulary anymore. It's just not on the table. And so that's sad. But when she gets to Ireland, she gets into all kinds of mystery and she's solving crimes, and I think it is very dramatic while also being light and quirky. It has a lot of different elements. I think there's an emotional drama and quirkiness at the same time, you know?
Yes, exactly. It does, yeah. So how long were you in Ireland filming for?
I think it was 3 months.
Okay, so you're practically living here.
I'm Irish. No, I'm just kidding. I am English. My mom was born in Scotland but raised on the Isle of Sheppey. And my dad is an East London man his whole life. And so I actually do have, not that that has anything to do with Ireland, but...
No, you have a neighborly kind of sense of the place.
Yes. Yes. And I have always loved the Irish. I came to Ireland when I was married. Well, I wasn't married yet. I was with my son's dad when we were first together. We went, I think it was the MTV Music Awards.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They were held in Dublin 1 year. Yeah.
Yes. And so we flew there and then drove from like Shannon slowly all the way to Dublin. And I really wanted to move there. I thought I must move here. This is the greatest place on earth. And then many times I went to Ireland for different fun reasons. And this time I got to spend, I lived in this sweet, lovely place that I just adore. And
do you want to tell us where it is?
Is it okay? Because if I come back, I'm going there again.
No, it's okay. We'll all have forgotten by then.
Okay, great. Dorky.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Listen, you'll be fine out in Dorky. They're used to the celebrities out there. Did they leave you alone in Dorky? They did. They didn't bother you.
It was nice. Most people left me alone. And when they didn't, it was very kind and lovely. And it's just such a beautiful place. I remember back in the day being at Bono's house. And I have many times sort of been, I really like that area up there and I would always go there on the dart. So it was really nice to be near there and be able to walk all around. It's so beautiful.
It is gorgeous. And did you got the dart, yes?
I love the dart. I will tell you, I had a few moments on the dart that were a little bit naughty. You know, over at Dorky Station, the train comes and you don't have a ticket because you can't figure out how to get a ticket because you just got there and you're jet lagged and you're tired and you just jump on the train. And so I got on the train and then I realized, oh, shoot, I don't have a ticket. What do I do? And I thought when I got off, I could just pay for it, but it doesn't work that way. So I had to go.
So where did you get off? Was there gates where you got off? Yeah.
Yeah, there were gates, and I saw all the cops. So I went over to them and I said, "Hey, I'm so sorry, but I don't know what happened. I got on the train." And they were very kind.
You see,
I got
this
off
may
at
seem a mundane conversation in some ways, but Irish people are going to be fascinated by all of this. The
the
fact
other
that you were
funny
getting the dart around the place and dodging
what
the fare. You're definitely Irish.
the funny thing was, one time the dart got stopped, and all the little old ladies on the train were so pissed off. They were just like, going on and on about how terrible the train system is. But I quite love the train system.
Yeah, but little
And
old
then
ladies have places to be,
they
Alicia.
did. Everybody has a place to be. The other fun thing that I did there that was also a little naughty is, do you know the Bray Walk, the one, the
I
cliff
do, the one
thing?
that is closed
Yeah, it's
currently.
closed, right. So
Yes.
we were shooting there, and I saw someone slide underneath a hole. You know, it's all metal, it's been shut off, but there was a hole, and a man slid under. And I said, "Hey, sir, why are you doing this walk? It's closed." And he said, "Oh, none of us believe, the locals don't think it should be closed. It's fine." I said, "You feel safe?" He said, "Totally." So the next day, I went and I slid underneath the thing, and I did the walk, and it was so beautiful.
Okay, and I'm just going to say as a public service announcement that we are not recommending that anybody take that
Maybe we
walk.
should have
Did
gone
you
there.
also went viral for picking blackberries off
I
a
did.
bush and eating them? Now, can you explain? You knew what a blackberry was, right?
That wasn't what I got in trouble for. What I got, everyone got all worried when I was in England eating, now I can't remember what it was called. The lady I was with was telling me it was a tomato. And I said, "That is not a tomato. I grow tomatoes. That is not as what it is." And she was like, "Yes, it is." So anyway, I said, "I'm going to eat it." And so I put it in my mouth, and it was definitely not a tomato. And I spit it right out. And then the world went nuts. And then when I was in Ireland, I was eating blackberries again. And I thought, "Oh, I'll just share this because it's definitely a blackberry." But they were smaller and a little funny looking. And the only thing people had to say about that was that, you know, they get a lot of cars driving by, so they're not the cleanest.
Yeah, they're fine. Listen, you live very dangerously, don't you?
I don't think so, but I do have some
Cliffs,
fun.
dodging fares, foraging all kinds of poisonous things that you don't know what they are. You were also a producer on Irish Blood, and I
Yes.
get the impression you were an actual producer. You didn't just they didn't put your name on it to make you feel important or anything.
Oh no, that would have been very much more. That would have been nice. It was a lot of work. When this story came to me, it was just an idea. It was about two paragraphs on a piece of paper. And so I was involved with all of the hires, and that allowed me the opportunity to, you know, really be involved in the creative process. And I was working on the scripts very intensely with the writers, even when we were shooting still. Also on the edit. So it's very close to me, and I feel really proud that it's doing so well and that people really like it. It's
Yeah,
nice.
and you should be proud of it. It's terrific. So getting into production, which I think you did it quite early on in your career, is that
Yeah.
an important way, maybe particularly as a female in your business, to get a bit of control over your own destiny and your own career?
Yes, but I think of it more like it's the same thing, but I think of it a little differently. I call it self-preservation. So, like, a really good idea comes your way, but you can't, you know, if I just let them do whatever they have in mind. You know, like I finished a film with Yorgos Lanthimos called Begonia. When I'm working with someone like Yorgos Lanthimos, I can just free fall into the experience. He's so brilliant. So I'm just so grateful to be there. I'm in awe of his talent, his brain, his heart. I'm inspired, right? So I can just show up and go along for the ride.
Okay.
But when something is not like that at first, you know, when it comes to you and it sounds like something that would be a really interesting opportunity, but it could go very many different ways. That's when I think it's really important in my case to feel like I can lead it and sort of direct, not direct, but direct sort of how the
Gotcha.
thing turns out. And so that's sort of why I
Are
end up
you
producing.
very gently saying that a lot of people in the entertainment industry might mess up a good idea or not know what they're doing?
I don't know whether they would or they wouldn't, but I that yeah, I mean, as I've gone along, you know, people want to hire different directors that you're like, okay, you know, you can, there's many different ways to take a wrong turn. And look, you can take all the right turns and something can still not work out. But I think that taking those right turns for what you feel would be best is a good thing. And so in that case, we could have Molly, our amazing director. We could have the DP, Cahal, and his amazing crew. I mean, our crew was so incredible. Just sweethearts like Johnny the sound guy, Mick the grip, you know, all these people, Emma, the costume assistant on set, hair and makeup, Tom and Sandy, these people, Sandra, these people were so lovely and made me so happy every single day.
And is
And
that's what you want at this stage of your career on a set? You
oh
want to be
yes.
working with people you can get on
I
with
mean,
then?
first of all, you just want the most talented people. That's
Yeah.
number one, right? And the reality of Ireland is you guys have incredible actors. There's two parts that really stood out to me like this. There's a guy who plays he's taking care of the horse, and I go and speak to him, and he says, "Murdered." I can't do it, but I
No,
love
go
the
on,
way
do it, do it.
he says, like, "Murderer, murderer," but it goes on for like 5 hours, you know, the murderer, and he,
Oh, murderer.
yeah,
He's
like
putting
that,
D's in there, but I got
but
you.
even
Murderer.
more,
Yeah.
even more.
Okay, yeah.
Every single word he said, I was just transformed. I believed he was so aching with the story that he was
Yeah.
telling. And he had one scene, and he's incredible. And
Okay,
then,
I'm going to tell you a secret, right? And nobody probably told you this.
yeah.
In Ireland, we're all acting all the time, so we're really good at it. That's the truth of that one. Listen,
Yeah.
it's interesting what you said there about even when you take all the right turns on something, you still
Yeah.
don't know. I suppose back to remember Albert Goldman, Adventures in the Screen Trade. Nobody knows anything. Until the product hits the audience, you don't know what's going to happen. So, Clueless, which has become an iconic film, and your character, Cher, has become an iconic character. Clueless is 30 years old this year. Did you know when you were making Clueless that you were making something special?
Absolutely not. No, I mean, I loved playing that character. It was a very different person than I was. It was a very interesting part for me to take on. No one, I don't think anyone could have imagined the cultural phenomenon that it became. I just don't even know how you could.
Yeah. And like, how do you reflect on it now? 30 years on, it's still kind of, it is like a cultural touchstone still, almost defines an era and still resonates around.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just such a joy that people are so moved by it. I mean, the one thing I did know was that Amy Heckerling had done Fast Times at Ridgemont High. That film was so brilliant. I do think that it was her clever, you know, J Jane Austen is not so shabby herself.
Yes.
And so Jane Austen's book, brilliantly adapted by Amy Heckerling, and then all of Amy has her finger on the pulse of what's happening, you know. In a way, she just really touches on what's happening in the culture at that moment. And
Yeah,
I
but
think she.
even when you think about it being 30 years ago and you think how much has changed for kids in the last 30 years, right? So, like, I think there were pagers in Clueless. I think you had cell phones as well. None of us did, but there were cell phones. No internet, no social media. But like, I have two teenagers at home and who live in a very, very different world. But there is something about the essence of Clueless that they get that they'll watch it over and over again.
I know. And adults do it and kids do it.
Yeah.
Everybody does. I know.
I think in a way it was also full of memes before we even knew what memes were, wasn't it?
Well, when I just saw it at the 30th anniversary at the Academy, they had a
Yeah.
screen. And it really is. Every single scene has some absolutely hilarious. It's very satirical, you know. There's the writing is so clever, and there's sort of like really subtle dropped in jokes. In it's not ha ha jokes. They're just clever, thoughtful jokes in every single scene. And then the wardrobe is so fantastic. And I think there's a lot of heart in the story. I just think it's
Yeah.
a really delightful thing.
Are you working on a Clueless sequel for TV?
We've been producing this for like 2 years now, talking about it and, develing. It's really just in the development stages, but yes, we are.
And will you be sure? Will it be sure grown up?
I will be Cher grown up.
Amazing. Okay.
Yeah.
So when will we expect to see that?
Maybe next year, maybe. But it's just development stage, so things go,
Yes.
snail's pace. We're trying to figure it out and make it great.
You became very famous very quickly when Clueless came out. Was that challenging at 18?
Well, it started after The Crush. When
Yes.
I was in The Crush and I was at the MTV Movie Awards getting like best villain and
You were
best new.
15 when you made The Crush, is that right?
I was 15 turning 16, yeah. And that year, out of nowhere, that was my first film. I got 2 MTV Movie Awards, which was very exciting at the time and like a big deal, And then I went on to do a lot of films. I did a film with James Gandolfini in France, and I did a movie with Jeff Goldblum, just a bunch of movies and the Aerosmith videos and all these things. And then I did Clueless. So it was a slope, it was a
Okay.
fast progression, but a lot happened in those 2 years before that happened, But yes, it was all very overwhelming and crazy, for
Yeah,
sure.
a lot of actresses look back on maybe that time when the industry and the media and the culture were very different, and they feel as young women, and in your case, like just a teenager, that they could have been treated better or differently. Do you have any of those misgivings?
I'm a stick in the present kind of gal.
Yeah.
I got so much work that I'm focused on and trying to make the world a better place and take care of my boy. And so that's where my focus is.
It shouldn't be really a radical choice or be worth remarking on, right? For a woman to change. To choose to age naturally. But lots of the pieces, when I was reading around about you, mentioned this fact that you don't have any work done. Do you feel like a kind of an outlier in your business for not having any work done at this stage?
It's interesting being a woman and watching,
Yeah.
every woman, there it's like I kind of go back to that at the end of the day, I have always, I'm a vegan. I try really hard to not put any chemicals on my body and my skin anywhere. Like I want to be natural. And I'm curious to see what this plant-based living does to you naturally. Like if you just it's like I'm being an experiment on myself of like what happens if I just do this the way nature intended and just do it really healthily, eating well and being clean. And it's being vegan has done such great things for my life. I stopped having an asthma inhaler, I stopped having allergy shots, my skin cleared up, my body slimmed down. I mean, I got white eyes, my nails got strong and thick. So it's done such great things for me thus far that I feel like I want to give it a good shot on its own. And I don't want to put chemicals in my body. And so that's why I choose this. And at the end of the day, of course, I respect the choices that others make, but
Absolutely.
it's just sort of where I'm laying. And is it uncomfortable sometimes? Yeah, like every once in a while, I catch a glimpse of myself and I go, God, what? And but then I don't lose sleep over it or even a second. That's just a fleeting thought. That same thought could be like, oh, I'm hungry. Do you know what I mean? It's not my priority. My priority is doing good in the world, being an amazing mom and following my passion, right? That's where my focus is. And hopefully the right people come along that appreciate that and enjoy that. And that's all I can kind of hope for,
So you mentioned earlier working with Yorgos Lanthimos, and you were in The Killing of the Sacred Deer as well with Colin Farrell. And it might go again, maybe it goes back to Clueless or something, but people listening to you now will be thinking, okay, this is not your standard kind of Hollywood person. Are you a much quirkier, more offbeat kind of individual than people might think. Like, he's an unlikely person for the Alicia Silverstone people think they know to work with.
Well, I think in general, probably if you don't know me, then yeah, you might assume that I'm the girl from Clueless, but I'm not anything. Who was I just sitting with? Someone who was just going, telling me how surprised they were that I'm so Maybe it was I was sitting with Dax Shepard, and he was saying, "You really are very much not at all the character in Clueless." Yeah. And I was like, "Yeah, no, yeah, I know.
You don't say."
But it's and I was grateful that he was really articulating it. But
yeah,
it's true, and I am.
So, did you get stereotyped a bit?
I don't know. I just live my life. I've been an active. I was a little girl. I don't pay much attention. Try not to pay much attention to what the collective is saying, because it's not really useful in many ways. And I just do my best to be a good person and do the deep work that we have to do to be human and alive. And that's sort of where my focus is. I'm much nerdier and more quirky, and my taste is very different. Like Yorgos Lanthimos. I just did a film with Justin Kelly, which is a erotic thriller that just came out called Pretty Thing. And that's really, I loved working with him and I love his taste. And also doing Reptile with Benicio del Toro, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't know if you remember back in the day, but when I did Excess Baggage, I hired Benicio del Toro to be my opposite me as my leading man. That was a very odd choice. Not odd choice. Yeah. It was brilliant. But like, he had not been a leading man yet, you know, and that's who I wanted to be my leading man. And
does he still acknowledge that you gave him a start in the big time?
No, he did it. He did it on his own. He was brilliant in that Swimming with Sharks. And what was the other one? Usual Suspects. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a brilliant actor. There was no question. It's just...
Can we go back for a second to the deep work? Give me a sense of what the deep work is for you.
It depends on what's important to you, you know, in this lifetime. For me, my relationships are very, very important to me. So trying to make sure that your side of the street is clean and trying to make sense of the world, and there's a lot that has to be sorted when you're a little person, and depending on your upbringing and things like that, you know, we all have stuff we got to work on.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. And growth is never ending, really, isn't it?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Listen, you probably know from your time in Ireland that people here take a huge interest in American politics. I noticed as well, reading about you, that you were a registered Democrat, but you re-registered as an independent voter for the last election. Why was that?
I would love to talk about that with you privately, but I am not interested in talking about that publicly, because I want to focus on my wonderful work that I have going on.
Absolutely. I hear you. Listen, it sounds to me like you're somebody who has, because I think you've become at times in your life, maybe taken a bit of a step back and not been entirely, maybe slightly disenchanted with the business and everything. It sounds like you're somebody who's really kind of thriving in the industry at this point in your life, getting to do the work you want to be doing and really into it.
Yeah, I have. I stepped away for a while and wrote books, The Kind Diet, The Kind Mama. I created a vitamin line, which does not exist anymore. But I did do a lot of really deep other things that were important to me. And I found my love again through theater. You know, I love acting and I love the exploration of humanity and the creativity of it all. And I just really, when I got to do plays with David Mamet, and, you know, when he was directing me, and I got to do plays with Daniel Sullivan and Donald Margulies and Laura Linney, that's where I was just like, oh, yes, I am supposed to be doing this. This is where I need to be. And so I found a way to sort of be a great mommy, do work that I'm proud of, and be the activist that I am all at the same time. And we can't do everything. So there is, you have to sort of, that's why you have to, I choose my son first. And so it's really, I have had to make choices around that, of course, and not get to do everything that you want to do because it requires you to be in another country for 5 months, you know what I mean, or whatever the case is. So there are ways in which, like even on Irish Blood, they were so kind to me. And I said, I won't be able to do this unless my son and I have a week off every 3 or 4 weeks to be together. Otherwise, there's just no way I can do this. And that was true. I wouldn't have been able to do it, but they made it happen. And so I got to be with my boy and go on adventures. And yeah, so I do feel like I'm getting to do professionally. I feel very, very lucky. I'm so lucky that Irish Blood, that I got to participate in such an active way and that it's doing well. It's and people are loving it. That makes me really happy. And I'm so excited that I get to work with, Benicio del Toro and Yorgos Lanthimos and Justin Kelly. And then I'm doing this romantic comedy. I produced a show for Netflix that comes out in the Christmas time.
You're getting
And
into the Christmas Netflix rom-com market. That's I
I
love a
did.
Christmas Netflix rom-com.
I know. And I did one, and it's going to be really cute and fun. So it's nice.
Okay. Listen, Alicia, I'm not sure what I was expecting, but that was
Yeah.
a way more fascinating conversation than I was expecting. So thank you for being so kind of straight and open and thoughtful and everything else. It was brilliant, really. Thank you so
Oh,
much.
thank you. I'm glad to hear it.
Okay, and Irish Blood is streaming now on Acorn TV. Alicia Silverstone, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.